Frequency Cast, unofficial guide. Please stand by.
Hi, this is Carl and
this is Pete
from the Frequency Cast podcast.
We produce regular online radio shows covering UK digital TV and technology in the UK. You can listen to our shows online or have them automatically downloaded to your MP3 player. As well as our regular podcasts, we occasionally release unofficial audio guides on a tech topic.
This isn't one of our standard shows. This is a special guide to
Shiny,
the iPhone.
One day after launch, we have in our hands an official O2 Apple iPhone. Look at that.
This is a very smooth looking device. It is silver on the back. It has the Apple logo, as always. It has a little hole there. I think that's probably for a camera. And the front is just a huge screen, really, and it looks absolutely gorgeous. I've got to be honest, that's a very slick looking device.
So what we're going to do, as you said, this isn't one of our regular podcasts. This is what we call one of our unofficial guides. So what we're going to do is walk through all the main applications that you get on these phones, explain how to actually get yourself an Apple iPhone and how to get it activated, and then talk about some of the pros and the cons. But first off, weight, Carl.
It's got quite a nice weight to it. It's not too heavy, but you know it's there, which is quite handy. It's one of those things that you'd know it's in your pocket. If you're like me with checking your wallet, it's always that pat to the bum and whatever, but you like to actually know it's on you still and you haven't misplaced it. So that's quite good.
What about the screen?
The screen is huge. It virtually takes up the entire length of the device with a small about centimetre margin top and bottom. The rest of it just looks absolutely divine.
Okay, so what we're going to do is do a run through the applications. I'm going to get you to do some of the work here, but we'll whisk through some of the quicker ones. First icon is SMS. That's your text messaging. We tap on that little icon there. I'm actually going to open up a conversation we had with one of our show regulars. If I tap on that, this opens up a text message conversation. What have we got there?
It shows each person's conversation in a different colour. So it's hello in green from one person, and there's train problems, not sure what. What I've just noticed straight away is that, in fact, there's no controls almost on the outside of this. This is all touch screen.
So what you've got here on the left is my outgoing messages, and on the right, my colleague here's incoming messages. And the whole thing is driven totally off the touch screen. So I'm scrolling up and down just by putting my finger on the screen and jiggling up and down. Isn't that clever?
It's quite unbelievable. The fluidity of the movement of this is, there's no delay. It's almost preempts your move.
Clever. Okay, next application is calendar. So we open up calendar, quick description.
It looks like a basic agenda, sort of a diary or a calendar. It says at the top what the day is and the date. And below that, we've got just hours of the day. It's 24-hour. And you can enter, obviously, your own appointments within that.
Okie dokie. Next application is photos. Now, this is where it gets clever. So if you single-click on photos.
Okay, so this is me having a go, which is all very exciting. I'm just going to touch the screen. It's a bit nervous. Oh, and it's gone all white. And I've got camera roll, photo library. It's got works and social. And these are all files, obviously, that you've created of your own photographs.
These are actually photo albums. So you've got the work photo album there as 98 photos in, and the social and the birthdays, and there's pages and pages. These are just photos, JPEG photos, imported from my own photo collection. So if we just open up one of them here, if we open up, just tap on that one to open up the personal one.
Oh, a naked woman.
So this is a thumbnail view, four along the top and five down the side of my photos. Now put your finger on the screen and just whiz up and down.
Well, that's quite unbelievable. The movement on that is just so slick. It is unbelievable.
Okay, so you've just single tapped to open up a photo. It's a stalker. I'll tell you later.
Yes, anyway,
just tap on one of them to open up the picture. Single tap. Okay, so that's the photo. Now this is the clever bit. So we've got a full screen view of the photo here. Put your finger in the middle of the screen and just drag it off to the left. So you're just basically, if you keep putting your finger on the screen,
That's
flicking through.
That's very clever, yes.
Oh, who's she? She's cute.
Oh, that's very clever. Now this is, you're just like flicking through a book. Oh, no, this way. No, this way.
No, this way. I want to show you something. Right, now you see this photo here. It's a bit widescreen. There's a gap at the top and the bottom.
Right.
Tilt the whole device 90 degrees.
Well, that's very clever. We've just taken from portrait to landscape just by flicking the device, and it fills up the entire screen. So it's zoomed in automatically, but it's actually obviously a picture that was taken as a landscape picture, and it's put on the phone as a portrait. But if you just turn the phone on its side, you get a better view. That's very clever. Now, I've been told that if you put your fingers together in the centre of the screen and spread them apart, it does, and it does very well. It zooms in, and if you want to zoom back down to the smaller size, you can also do that.
You can zoom in really, really closely. Just two fingers together and pull them apart like that. And pinch them together will shrink the image back down again.
And that's very clever, because you can take a close look at something, a specific feature, on a photograph. So if you wanted to see, you know, what someone was holding in their left hand or something, you just see their left hand. But it's
so that's photos. Impressive.
Very impressive.
Excellent. Okay, next application. On the top, camera.
Oh, it's like, actually it looks like the James Bond barrel thing.
It's a little shutter, yeah.
Yeah.
It and is you can take a photo.
Oh, that's a nice little touch. It takes a picture and then throws it away, sort of thing. Puts it into storage. Very easy to use as well. It's just a single button at the bottom which has a picture of a camera, which makes it pretty obvious it's the shutter.
Unfortunately, this is where we get a slight problem. This is where some of the niggles start coming in. If you turn the thing over to its other side, you see that's the camera lens there. Now, this is only a 2-megapixel camera, and I don't know how much you know about cameras, Carl, but 2 megapixels is not the greatest of cameras.
It's not very good. I mean, I know there's up to 5 megapixels on a phone these days, isn't
it? Well, looking at this one, this is our other favourite. This is the Nokia N95. That's got a 5-megapixel camera, and it's cheaper than this, so... The iPhone, yeah, a 2-meg camera. It doesn't have a flash. It's not actually a particularly good camera.
But no, good for putting your pictures on, but not for taking them with.
Exactly. And there's one other little niggle here. Do you know what MMS is?
Isn't that a messenger?
Exactly. Picture messaging. So, right. So with something like this Nokia I've got here, you can take a photo and send it to somebody else using this thing called MMS. Now, this phone doesn't actually support that. This is, as far as I know, this is the first camera phone where you can take a picture, but you can't actually send it to anyone.
That's pretty useless, really.
That is pretty poor. So,
and a Mac going to come up with some special way of doing this now?
I am amazed that it doesn't do it. I hope they're going to patch it in a future version of this. I hope they're going to bring out MMS. Admittedly, you can email it. Anywho, that's the camera.
Good.
Then we have YouTube. You know YouTube, getting your videos on the internet. You can watch other videos.
Oh, yeah.
If we tap here on most recent. So we have a list of videos that are on the YouTube site. So you have a picture of a baby that says Brian saying Vanessa. Football match clip, hillside, brunette topless str. leave it. So alpha picture, highway 5, and various little video clips that have been uploaded. So this is actually a fairly smooth implementation of YouTube. Next application we have is Stocks. So I'm going to tap that open. And here we have a list of tickers, so we've got FTSE and a few other stocks and shares.
So this is the actual FTSE index,
live? Yeah, absolutely. So it's worldwide stocks and shares. So we
it's real-time, is it?
FTSE's up by 0.39. Yeah, markets have closed now, so it's not active. But you see we've got a 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 2 year graph.
Nice.
And you can just scroll up and down all the various tickers that we've got there. Add your own. You're not tied to the list that comes with it. And it's all powered by Yahoo. So this is getting the Yahoo stocks and shares information.
Excellent.
Nifty, eh?
Okay. I'm not into my stocks and shares, but if I was, that would be fantastic.
Next one says...
Maps.
Okie dokie. Let's open that up.
Oh, right. Now, is this in the machine or is this real-time?
No, this is all actually Google Maps. This is downloaded off the internet. That's Google Maps.
Cool.
So you can put in a place. You can do route planning.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's not quite as good as some of the other phones that have built-in GPS. So it doesn't actually tell you where you are. You have to kind of know where you are. Again, comparing it to our Nokia here, Nokia's got built-in satellite GPS. And the Nokia also has the next junction, turn left, voice navigation. This doesn't have that. This is just basically a map lookup. So using Google Maps, you can put in an address or a postcode anywhere in the world.
So it's not TomTom, is it, really?
It's not a TomTom. But it is. It's okay. Personally, I do prefer having a GPS that says you are here, take the third exit off the roundabout.
I'll tell you where to go.
So you've got the standard Google map. You can drag it around the screen, which is... The dragging is actually quite nifty. That's quite smooth motion. And it's also got the flashy satellite view. So if you press that, you get a satellite image.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
There you go. And just try and do the pinch zoom in thing.
Oh, this is very good, yeah.
It's got quite a good level of detail, hasn't it?
Yeah. I'm just going to zoom in as far as I can. Yeah, it becomes a bit blurry after a while, doesn't it?
Well, you wait, that's just a thumbnail. That'll download a fresher version of it.
Oh, I see. Oh, no, there's a lot of detail there. Oh, that's very clever.
So basically, the maps aren't stored on the phone, so every time you make an adjustment, it connects to the internet and downloads
a better image
for you. Yeah.
Very good.
Quite nifty, isn't it?
Okay. Yes.
So that's maps. What do we have next?
Weather.
So we open that up, it says, okay, temperature in London is...
Oh, I like the graphics on that, that's quite good. I like the clouds and the rain at the top. Oh, and night time as well, that's very clever.
London, 8 degrees. Tomorrow's going to be sunny. Day after's going to be cloudy.
It's got a very good look to it, hasn't it?
Let's be honest. You've got more than one town, you can just bounce between the different towns.
Fantastic.
Cool. Here we go. Clock. So we have world time. So here we've got London, Stockholm, San Francisco. I've set these up to what I want. So you get some dark and white clocks. The dark clocks there indicate it's night. The white one is obviously it's day.
Oh, very good.
It's currently day in San Francisco and night in Helsinki.
And that's very good for business trips and things like that, so you know what time it is, and especially if you're doing conference calls with other countries.
Exactly. Yeah. You've also got an alarm clock, stopwatch, start, stop, reset. It's quite nifty.
Nice.
And timer. I do like timer. You'll like the interface for that. So you've got two little, what are those? Little wheel
it's like
things,
a, yeah, it's like a fruit machine, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it, fruit machine wheel. So I can say I want column one, naught hours, column two.
And a nice little clicky noise.
Yeah, column two, 1 minute, and that will just sit there and merrily count down. And it'll play one of the ringtones when it gets to the end of its countdown, which is quite nifty.
Nice.
Calculator. Nothing particularly special.
No, it's quite funny though, because now this looks, it's crazy, because the screen takes up most of the device. We've just pressed the calculator application, and it turns into one of those old school calculators, you know, the basic ones.
Yeah, yeah.
It's quite funny.
Notes, so we've got a basic notepad application, so we can just type in some text.
You've got the QWERTY keyboard down the bottom, but is it? Can you do touch sensitive as well?
Yep. Data input is actually quite nifty. Give that a try. Hold that. Mm-hmm. Just try and type in hello. So you're tapping on the screen. I actually find it's better to use the whole tip of the finger rather than try and use your nail.
Right. Oh, yeah. So it pretty much knows doable, what you're going for, doesn't it?
It's also got this nice little feature that if you're a bit clumsy with your thumbs, just put your hand onto the screen and hold it down. And then drag. You can actually drag to the letter you want and then let go to print it.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So if you're a bit clumsy with your fingers, you can...
You can
just dump your finger on the screen until the letter you want comes up.
Yeah, it does a special enlarged version of the key that you're hovering over, just above your finger. So wherever your finger happens to be, you can always see what letter you're actually on.
Not bad at all.
Yeah, very good.
And it's got predictive text and spell checking and other stuff, which is nifty. Next application is settings. I'm going to very quickly whiz down settings. We've got an airplane mode, which obviously turns the phone off if you're on a plane. Wi-Fi, carrier, which is, of course, set to O2 at the moment. Then there's one that says usage. If we open that up, that's how long it's been running on batteries, how many calls we've made, so how many calls in the current period or for the lifetime of the phone, and amount of data we've sent over the edge network, which is the data network it connects to the internet with.
So I've always liked these sort of features that tell you about battery life and how long it's been used and this, that and the other. I mean, very similar to the Scions. It was one of the most impressive elements of the Scion machines many years ago.
So it's nice telling you how many of your 3 minutes you've used up and how much data traffic you're sending over. That's rather nifty. Then going down the rest of settings, we've got sounds, brightness, wallpaper, general, mail, phone, Safari, which is the web browser, iPod and photos. That's where you control all your settings from. Next application, iTunes.
Obviously the main reason why you get an iPhone anyway.
No. iTunes is the online music store. So if you want to download music or download videos, you use the iTunes store. They have a version on here. It's not quite as good as the one you get on a PC or a Mac, but this will let you browse through featured tracks or top tens or search tunes and download them. It's not really the main feature. I think most people are still going to want to download their tunes to a computer, so they've got them on the PC and they can copy them and move them around. This is just a quick way if you're out and about and you want to get some music downloaded, you can do it.
Fantastic.
I think the feature you were more thinking of is the one underneath.
Ah, the iPod.
There you go. So if we open up iPod, so what we have here is albums, audiobooks, compilations, composers, genres, podcasts, and down the bottom button for playlist, artists, songs, videos. So let me just open up an album, and we're going to get a nice view here. So we've got a list of albums. Just quickly run down some of those names.
Abbey Road, The Beatles, Achtung Baby, U2, The Best of OMD, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, Brothers in Arms, Dire Straits, The Gateway.
Okay, so we've got a collection of albums there. And basically, if I want to play one of these, let's open up our podcast here. If we open up podcasts, what does that one say?
FrequencyCast UK.
There we go. So let's just try and play a podcast out of this. Okay, so that's us listening to a podcast. And on screen, we've got a picture of our FrequencyCast logo and a microphone there. Rather nifty.
It's very good. And I like the way also, when you hit FrequencyCast, when you chose your podcast, you had the option, it went into all the shows that we've currently done. You could choose a specific show.
Absolutely. It's all driven through iTunes on the PC, so it syncs up and gets all your podcasts downloaded for you. Now, this is a nice feature. I'm going to twist this phone R 90 degrees again, like we did with the photos.
Right.
Hold that.
Uh-huh.
And put your finger on. It's on our FrequencyCast logo, and just flick that way.
Oh, very good. Oh, I see. And it'll actually select. It's showing me the album covers of many... All the stuff on... Just on there, I suppose.
So this links up to iTunes on your PC or on your Mac. So this is just basically my music collection. When I first connected the thing, it detected I had iTunes and just copied all my music for me, so I didn't have to actually do anything. It just did it.
How does it get all the images?
It just does it for you. When you burn a CD or when you buy a song in iTunes, it picks up the album art and downloads it for you.
Oh, very good. I like that. It makes it really easy to find what you're looking for.
Exactly. So that is rather nifty. We're sounding a bit like an advert for Apple here, aren't we?
Well, maybe, but I do like the machine, actually.
There you go.
I'm not really into technology, as you know, but I do like the look of this.
So what else have we got? We've got a phone application. It's fairly standard. This is where your contacts are. This is actually showing me... Oh, yeah, this is rather nice. This is the voicemail view. This is a list of all the voicemails I've had in, and I can hit call back and delete. It's got this clever kind of voicemail manager thing. But here you've got your standard contacts, so you can just scroll up and down the screen.
Oh, that's sleek. Yeah. There's nothing worse with your mobile phone when you're having to press the button just to scroll through all your contacts.
You've also got recents and favourites, so you can set up your favourite people or the people that you've called recently. So it's actually rather nice.
Oh, that's helpful, especially when you've got that many contact names.
Exactly. And of course, you've also got a keyboard, so if you want to just dial a number... You can just dial it on the keyboard as normal.
Cool.
Two last applications to cover. Mail. So this is your inbox. This is rather nifty. Basically, here I've set up all of my email accounts. So I've actually got 5 POP email accounts here. This supports POP. This supports IMAP. This supports MS Exchange. Got a permanent internet connection. So every half an hour or so, this will go away, check for emails. Little red thingy there appears to tell me there's new email. I can look into an inbox. So here in our FrequencyCast inbox at the moment, there's a mail from... Mark Truelove and Andrew Malloy. If I tap open that, it should expand and show us his mail. Yeah, Andrew Malloy here talking about broadband and on-demand TV. So again, we're just scrolling up and down with our thumb here as we're holding the phone. Really, really smooth.
Yeah, it's really good.
If you want to reply, there's a reply icon there, or you can delete it. That's email. We did actually have a question. Somebody asked us if it's possible to get Hotmail on this. It does support a number of different services. Out of the box, it doesn't support Microsoft Hotmail, but our friend the bearded buffalo, yes, Vinny, has been in touch telling us that you actually can get Hotmail on here, and he has recommended a service called Izzymail. www.izymail.com is a service that will allow you to convert your Hotmail to an IMAP, so you can actually get your Hotmail on here as well, which is rather nice.
Cool.
So that is email. Very, very nice. Works a treat. This is the one, though. This is the killer for me.
So this is the last application that we're doing, which is the Safari one, which is very nice. It's got a little compass on a blue background.
Mm.
Tell me all about it.
So Safari is a web browser. Now, I do a fair amount of mobile surfing. I do it on this device, which is my O2 XDA, which is great at web surfing. I mean,
that looks nice.
Yeah, well, does it? I mean, look.
No, not as nice as the one I've just been looking at. I'm being sarcastic.
Exactly. So what I'm looking at on my XDA is a fairly small screen. The temptation after you've used this is to want to do that, and of course
the
screen doesn't work.
No, this is a nipple controlled device.
Indeed. So I can scroll up and down my web pages, and you see there's a few broken links there, and it's all a bit bad. If I want to scroll to the right, I have to move the whole thing to the right. Mobile web browsing on this isn't particularly good. This
though, and if you turn it up the other way, it doesn't change the screen around, does it?
Exactly. So if I press Safari, let me open this up. Now I've actually already loaded our FrequencyCast page. So there you see we've got the full version of our web page.
Yeah, you got it all on the screen there. If you turn the screen sideways, oh, very nice. And of course, it makes it easier to read, and you can zoom in and out very quickly, very easily. It's the way of the future. This is where we should be.
And this actually is a proper web browser. What you see on these other phones like the Nokias and the XDAs is basically a cut-down version of the web. This is actually the internet. So we've got a proper web browser that does everything. It supports JavaScript. It supports secure websites. I bank with First Direct. This just works. You can just log on to First Direct, do your banking. We're looking at a site here with JavaScript. It just works. But the navigation is superb. Obviously, trying to get an entire web page on a small device is tricky. So what you have here is, you see on the left, we've got our column that says latest shows, topic index, and so on. Single tap on that, will just zoom that particular part of the screen to full screen.
Oh, that's clever. Yeah, it makes it, it's so much easier to use. It's,
so here we are, we're just scrolling around our homepage. I mean, it's just so smooth. If you can't read anything, you can do the pinch in to zoom into the text. It's displaying all the images absolutely perfectly. I mean, it is just amazing.
I can see electronic books working with this device.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. What is nice, there's some nice features here. If you press this little button here, that's your bookmark. So we've got all our bookmarks there. Just, again, scrolling up and down with my thumb here. No keyboards, no joysticks, no stylus touch screen styluses. It's just so smooth with your finger running up and down the screen there. This is nice, though. This one here. How would you describe that? So it's a number four over another number. So if I press that, basically this is saying there are four websites that I've looked at recently. If I press that button there, it shrinks down to a little preview. So you can see there's one of my websites, there's another. I'm now basically hopping between websites. And if I decide, yeah, I want to look at website number three, tap on the screen, opens it up to full screen for me.
I've got to say, this is the future.
And it is an amazing experience. To be honest, I'm not that fussed about the MP3 stuff. I've had a Creative MP3 for ages, and it's a very good MP3 player. I've never been a huge fan of iPods. But, I mean, this for web browsing is just awesome.
I do like it. How much?
Okay, you must have heard about the launch of these and how expensive these things are. How much do you think this is?
400 and something.
900 and something.
900 and
something. Oh, if this were telly, if you could see Carl's face.
Don't want one anymore. It was all right up until that point.
That's a little unfair. It's actually £269 for the actual phone. But with O2, you have to have a fairly lengthy contract. So you have to have an 18-month contract with it. And it's £35 a month. So if you multiply
35 by 18
and then add 269 for the cost of the phone, you're talking just over 900 quid for total ownership.
Oh, dear.
Well, yeah, people do pay £30 a month for their phone anyway.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, to be honest with you, it's a bill you're going to pay anyway, as you say. Depends on your phone habits.
Exactly. Now, for instance, I am, as I say, I use the XDA to surf the net a lot. My tariff at the moment is £25 a month, also with O2. But I do a lot of internet surfing, and I probably run up about 10 quid's worth of internet. Now, this £35 tariff that you get the Apple iPhone on has unlimited internet access. So it doesn't matter how much surfing I do, it's not going to cost me any more.
So effectively, you're in fact probably saving money by having it.
Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, you've got the 269 cost of actually buying the thing. But a lot of phones, you know, are over 100 quid to get a decent phone on contract anyway. So it's not ridiculous. But similarly, when you do say it's a 900 quid phone, yeah, it does make people go, ouch. What I did want to talk about is how you actually buy one of these. You can buy one of these from O2 and you can buy one of these from the Carphone Warehouse. But it's not like when you traditionally go and buy a phone. I don't know about you, Carl, but whenever I go to buy a phone, I have to go in, take in my gas bill, they do a credit check on me, I have to sign a contract, they have to phone somebody and get it activated. Well, this is really, really easy. You just basically go in, pay your £269 and you take away a box.
Wow, and what a nice box it is too.
There you go. So that's the box. Quite diddy, isn't it?
It is. It's a lovely box, but you'd expect that from my iPod.
Let's just have a look at what we have in here, shall we? So we've got a fingertips instruction book. We've got an iTunes, very, very thin manual. There's almost nothing to these manuals, is there?
No, they're just like little pamphlets.
Yeah. You don't actually get a proper manual, which is a little bit of a shame, but never mind. You get two weird Apple stickers.
Yeah, that's so you can stick them on the back of your PC.
Absolutely. You get a little cleaning cloth for the screen, which you do need. The screen does get a bit greasy with face and fingers and things. Then you get the mains adapter thing, which is fairly standard. Docking station, which is it's quite weighty, actually, for a docking station.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it?
And you get the USB lead.
And your headphones.
And headphones.
Ye old trusty headphones.
Ye oldie trusty headphones. These are the standard white iPod headphones. Difference here is there's a microphone in line so you can do your hands-free calling, so they are slightly different.
Ooh, that's quite slick.
Quite nice. Right, I want you to do a little test for me here. So I must admit, I'm not a great fan of these iPod headphones. I tend to use my own. I've got these ones here. These are my Shure E3C headphones.
Right, how much were they?
These were about 80 quid.
Okay.
Let's try these plugged into my iPhone. Just see if you can plug those in for me.
Okay. They don't seem to fit properly.
Yeah. This is another little niggle. See, if you plug in the Apple headphones...
Yes, they don't have a proper bottom, do they?
Indeed. So basically, the curve of the case is so smooth that they only take the Apple headphones.
Yeah, that's a bit crap, really.
That is a little annoying. I've got a set of 80 quid headphones, and instead I've got to resort to these
23 quid ones.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a little annoying. But there is a fix.
Oh, yeah.
You can buy
an adapter.
So here we... Yep, if you want to spend 10 quid...
Ten quid? From who?
You don't get this for free. This one happens to be from Griffin.
This isn't from my pod. Mac.
No. So that is the adapter, and then you plug your headphones into that.
For 10 quid. Okay.
Well, you can get them cheaper or more expensive. There's one that's about 20 quid. We've got this rather nice one from Griffin. You can get ones that are kind of firm. This is basically a plug at one end, a 1 or 2 inch bit of wire, and then a socket on the end of it. And it sort of flips about a bit.
It's a little floppy.
You can get stiff ones, if you excuse the expression. But there's a danger that they'll snap off if they're in your pocket. So getting one of these flexi ones like this one from Griffin is...
No, go for a floppy one. It'll always get stiffer.
Exactly. So it's a little bit unfortunate, isn't it, really?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Not happy about that.
Nah.
Nah. Nah. So that's yet another niggle.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, but now look at it. Look at that. Look.
Yeah, nice visual, but I'm all about sound, mate.
Yes. Okay. So let's just explain how you actually get this. So you take the box home, you plug it into your PC or to your Mac. You have to have iTunes installed. And this is basically what happened when I did it. I plugged it in and it went bing and said, hey, you've got an iPhone plugged in. And
you go Chandler Bing or just
Chandler Bing. iTunes spotted that there was an iPhone connected and said, right, you've got to activate this phone. So rather than doing all this in store, you can do this in the comfort of your home with this plugged into your PC or your Mac. And it said you've got three options. Are you a new customer, or are you an O2 customer that wants to replace your existing phone, or are you an O2 customer that wants a brand new contract as well as your current one? What I did was I was already with O2, fortunately, so I put in my old O2 phone number. And iTunes sent my old phone a text message with a PIN number in it, just to prove it was me. Tap that in, and this is another nice little thing that O2 did for me. My old O2 phone had about 6 months to run on the contract.
Right.
And rather than me having to wait until my contract was over, O2 are doing a deal at the moment where if you get one of these, if you've had a contract before the 19th of September, they will waive the sign over. So I had 6 months left on my contract at £25 a month, and they just waived that. And they said, hey, you've got an iPhone, so we'll waive that for you. So I've actually saved myself 6 months' worth of contract by switching to an iPhone.
Wow.
Which is a nice touch, I thought.
Yeah, you don't often get deals like that these days, do you?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of limiting the damage as well. Plus, of course, they're tying me into an 18-month contract now, so they're going to get their money from me somehow.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I put all this in, and that was pretty much it. They sent an over-the-air signal, activated my SIM card, and off I was running. So the next thing it did, it popped up a, right, okay, do you want to sync over your contacts and your calendar? Synced over internet bookmarks, which is really handy, so I've got all my net bookmarks on it. And it worked out I had Outlook and sent all my Outlook settings over to it, so I didn't have to configure all my email. And then it said, you've got all this music on iTunes, do you want that? If you don't have an O2 contract, it will ask you for your address history, so you have to tell it where you've lived for the last 3 years for the credit check reasons. And then it will take your bank account details for the monthly direct debit. But it's certainly a lot easier than faffing about in store.
It's nice because it kind of presents it as a smooth package, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does make it easy. And you don't have to queue up. You just go in, buy a box, go away again, sort it out, which is rather nice. The other thing I just wanted to run through was the pros and cons. So on our website, we have a list of some information about the iPhone. The pros, hey, it's an Apple. You can't deny it's a stylish phone.
No, you certainly can't.
The web browsing on it is absolutely awesome. You really can't beat the web browsing experience. It's just like having a tablet PC. It's amazing.
It's got to be seen.
You get your iTunes content on it, music videos, photos, ebooks, all on the phone. It just syncs up seamlessly. It's beautiful.
Perfectly for electronically carrying your crap around.
And the wow factor. I've been on a train with this. I had three people looking at it. I took it into work. I had a gaggle of people around me. I've actually sold two people this phone already just by showing it to them. They've actually gone out and bought one on the strength of actually just touching one.
It does have wow factor. I do agree. For 400 quid, I'd have one. But
there you go.
For 900...
So what about the cons? Well, 2 meg camera. When you can get a 5 meg camera with a flash somewhere else.
Not such a pretty picture.
No MMS, so you can't send photos.
No mates, no problem.
Mm. It's not a 3G phone, so it's using O2's Edge network. So there are 3G phones out there, even one we reviewed recently, that fairly cheap and cheerful Skype phone, has a faster internet connection than this, and that was only 49 quid on pay-as-you-go. So it's amazing that it doesn't have a 3G fast internet connection. It is relying on a slower internet connection, which is a little bit of a shame.
Turtle in here, you're the turtle.
But then if you're on an unlimited all-you-can-eat internet package anyway, it still maybe works out cheaper than being on Three's data plan.
Delicious. Go for the buffet.
So what else is a con? My former favourite was a Windows mobile device, which syncs beautifully to the PC. Now, the Apple syncs beautifully to the PC as well, but with Windows Mobile and even with Symbian phones, you get things like Excel and Word. Even Tasks is supported. But on the iPhone, that's not. You get Contacts and Calendar, but you can't do your Word documents, you can't do PowerPoints, you can't do Excel. So it's not a true smartphone in that you can't do it for like Office applications, which I think is a real shame. Other features, okay, it's got no sat-nav on board. Our other favourites, the N95 and the Orbit, both have sat-nav. This one doesn't. No FM radio, a little bit irritating.
Not a major problem for me, I've got to be honest. But well, I do still want to know where I'm going.
Yeah, I mean, I do like FM radios. I've got a Creative Zen for my current MP3 player. That has an FM radio and a voice recorder, which the Apple range don't. The price, yeah, it's a little pricey. Doing our comparison here, the O2 XDA Orbit, total ownership price £600 versus this at £900. And for that, you get sat-nav, you get TomTom, you get an FM radio, you get Windows Media Player, and it's £300 cheaper. Comparing it with the Nokia N95, 5-megapixel camera with flash and sat-nav and 3G and an FM radio, and it's £300 cheaper.
Yeah. Okay, guys, knock the price down.
Yeah, I saw something rather interesting on a blog. You can actually get the N95 for a lot less than the iPhone. With the money you save, you can actually buy yourself an 8-gig iPod and still have enough money left for a PC.
Nice.
Frightening. So, again, this is not a cheap phone, and it does have those shortcomings that we talked about. Another thing you can't do, you can't send multiple texts at the same time. You can't send one text to five people. You have to send one text five times. But, oh, man, look at the browser.
Yeah.
Look, feel it again. Now tell me it's worth it. There you go. So that is our in a nutshell review of the Apple iPhone from the FrequencyCast team. I reckon thumbs up for the browsing, thumbs up for the sheer style and sexiness of this, but there are a lot of niggles. You kind of got to think about what you want to use this for. Personally, I'm in love.
Hopefully you found this unofficial guide of use.
For more on the iPhone, check out our site at www.frequencycast.co.uk.
Also, if you have any comments or suggestions for our show, we'd love to hear from you.
And remember to sign up for our regular podcast, jam-packed with TV and tech news. Our focus is on new technology, plus questions and comments from our listeners.
Here's a quick teaser of some of our shows.
What have you got there?
This is the hottest bit of kit.
Because it's sent digitally, it's better quality.
I'm just wanting to ask you for a comparison between BT Vision against...
Freeview News. In the last few weeks, we've seen two new stations.
Off the roundabout, second exit.
We've had the top-up TV anytime box since December. We are absolutely disgusted with the service.
Use broadband to get television over the internet.
Now, it's a darkened room you live in, isn't it, normally?
Nabba's tech.
Gizmo wannabe.
If you want high def, then Sky is very clearly the one to go for at the moment.
Sign up for a tantalising take on technology or listen online at www.frequencycast.co.uk.
Frequency Cast, unofficial guide. Shutdown complete.